We want to add to Michael's welcome and say thank you for joining us, whether on the radio or on Facebook Live. We are so thrilled that you are here and that you are with us, and pray that our music has been something that has strengthened you and that our worship has glorified God. Do you ever feel out of place? I mean, I remember as a boy being the last one picked for kickball, and that made me feel a little uncomfortable. I was the new kid at school, and suddenly the game was going on, and I was the last one chosen. Or maybe you're the odd duck in your family. You're the one that just doesn't quite fit in. Or maybe you're that employee at work that doesn't joke around the water cooler, that doesn't spend time telling stories, and you just feel a little bit out of place. I want us to hear from a story from the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Mark that speaks of just such a woman who was out of place, and a woman who might have been in need of some pretty desperate things. So let's read our text together before we continue. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." What a great story. A story that reminds us that we have a Savior who cares. The more I've reflected on this story this week, and the more I've been reminded of what Jesus does for this woman in the midst of this story, is that he cares more for her than we could ever imagine. Certainly more than she did. And that he cares for us in the same way. What's interesting is when I watch Jesus in the midst of this story, I see a couple of things and learn a couple of lessons from him. The first thing that I learn is that Jesus is always accessible. Now that seems like a weird word for a second, but he's there. And in the midst of all the crazy that's going on around him, he is available to all of those who are around him. By this time, everywhere Jesus goes, there is a crowd of people. The stories have gotten out. The words have echoed through the people that when he is there, amazing things happen. And hear this story, the same thing happens. As Jairus, knowing that Jesus might be able to heal his daughter, will find him in the midst of this crowd and say, "Come and join me." And the rest of the crowd will follow. And so maybe the question that needs to be asked today is Jesus still accessible to all who need him? Most of us realize that we need him. Most of us realize that we need a Savior who is accessible and available to us so that we can call upon him, but he also needs a church that is accessible to the world around him as well. But then the second thing that jumps out to me about Jesus in the midst of this story is that Jesus is adaptable. Okay, so his original plan is, Jairus has come to me, so I'm going to go to his house. Plan is, heal little girl. So off he goes on this journey, and here comes this woman that just jumps in the midst of this crowd and distracts Jesus for just a moment. I was joking with a few other ministers about 2 months ago about our schedules. And we were talking about the importance of morning Bible study and of our prayer routine and of all those things that we do every day. And what happens in ministry is often when you're in the midst of those things you have scheduled, ministry happens. And it doesn't happen while you're reading your Bible, and it doesn't happen during your prayer time. It happens when somebody knocks on your door or calls your phone. And that's kind of what happens to Jesus here. If Jesus would have had a cell phone in that day, he'd have gotten a call right in the middle of this conversation with Jairus, and the woman would have said, "I need you right now, and I need some help." And Jesus adapts to his interruptions. What's interesting is Mark tells this story a little differently, and I want to include some of Mark's ideas in a second. But Mark starts this story of Jesus really getting busy in chapter 1. In Mark 1, Jesus is trying to pray, and Peter comes to Jesus and says, "All the people are looking for you." In Mark 2, Jesus is teaching in a house, and the roof starts to cut away, and you imagine pieces of the roof falling on Jesus, and they lower a man down, and he is interrupted. In Mark chapter 3, the house is so full of people that Jesus can't even eat the meal that's set before him. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is sleeping in a boat in the midst of a storm, and the disciples interrupt him from at least what appears to be a moment of rest. See, this is all normal for Jesus. That all the time Jesus is being interrupted, whether he's trying to eat a meal or whether he's trying to have a conversation with friends or maybe he's just trying to get a nap on a boat, people are going to come and tug at Jesus. See, Jesus could have helped this woman at another time. Jesus could have looked at her and said, "You know, I've got a lot of things going on right now. And in fact, right now I'm on my way to Jairus' home. And Jairus is the synagogue leader. And he's important to this community. And his daughter is dying. And can you imagine what it would feel like to lose your daughter?" But he doesn't. He stops right in the midst of this interruption and meets the woman's needs. There's this line that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians where he says, "We have become all things to all men to win some." And I think that's kind of the method of Jesus' madness, so to speak. It is in the midst of a journey that is set to go heal a little girl, he's going to become all things to all men so that he can bring healing. And I need that as well as you. See, if we talk about this woman, she's kind of interesting. She is as far away from Jairus on the social scale as humanly possible. I mean, Jairus is synagogue leader. He is one of the most respected men in town. He is one of the religious centerpieces in this community. And this woman has been in her home locked away for years. Mark chapter 5, Mark says this about her. He says, "She has suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and has spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she has grown worse." See, her desperation to get to Jesus is more than just physical pain. And we don't know if she is in great physical pain, but it seems to be enough that she is suffering, Mark says. And her loneliness would have been as much of a burden as her illness. See, in the world where she lives, she would be considered unclean. And because of what's going on in her body physically, she couldn't be around her family, and she couldn't be around her friends, and she couldn't be around the society that she lived in. And so thus, her illness would have not only caused her to suffer physical pain, but think of being by yourself and the burden that that would bear. I've had a number of moms reach out to me who have been homeschooling their kids the last week, and they're lonely and they're frustrated and they can't figure out when this is going to end. Imagine that for years and years and years. So she puts together a little plan. She's got no money. She really can't reach out to Jesus to talk to him. She doesn't exactly have a cell phone to call him. If she walks outside of her home, she's viewed by society because of her illness as a lawbreaker. But she's going to risk it anyway. So here's what Mark continues with. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. What a daring act. I mean, here's her plan. Okay, I'm gonna break society's code and I'm gonna break what Moses told us to do thousands of years ago in the law of Moses, and I'm gonna do this daring act that if I can just even catch the hem of his garment, that's gonna bring healing. What great faith. See, what's interesting is her faith is deeply personal. Her faith is, here is this man named Jesus, and I've heard the stories, and maybe I've heard the gossip, or I've heard the things going on in my own little house where people have been telling about this fella named Jesus, and I'm going to risk it and try to find a way to reach him. Mark 5 continues, "At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' 'You see the people crowding against you,' his disciples answered, 'and yet you ask, who touched me?' But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it." I love the way the story unfolds. I mean, I can kind of picture the scene in my mind. The road is so wide, and Jesus is walking down the middle of that road, and he's got Jairus next to him. And if I'm Jairus, I'm saying, "Come on, hurry up. My kid is sick." And so Jairus is kind of dragging Jesus, and with Jesus is all of this crowd, and they're all making their way home. And here comes this woman kind of weaving in and out, and she touches the hem and is instantly healed. And everybody says, "What's going on?" Her faith is great. One of the things I love the most about this woman's faith is it comes from private to public. See, so often we're good at having our faith in private. We're good about having our faith in those moments when it's just us and God, or those moments when it's just us and people who are just like us. But her faith becomes very public. Because what happens in her life is her faith moves from the heart to the lips. And then we get this last little line from Mark. Jesus says, "Tell the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth." Can you imagine the teachable moment that's going on in the midst of this story? That when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" and the crowd says, "Well, they're all around you." And then the woman says, "I did." What great faith. No one else in all of the gospel story is ever healed by touching Jesus' garments, but yet this woman in her great faith is. So what this story tells me is, first, nothing is impossible with God. That in the midst of this story of a woman who has dealt with a disease for years is going by her faith to come to Jesus and be taken care of. Mark 5:34, Jesus gives his last line to the woman, and he says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I love that line. Not only does he say, "Your faith has healed you," but he starts off by saying, "Daughter." This is the only character in all of the New Testament that Jesus calls daughter. See, the woman who had nobody's attention suddenly has the attention of God. The woman who would have been ostracized, the woman who would have stayed in her house by herself most of her life, is now in the midst of a crowd, and Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." It's pretty good when the one on the outskirts, when the odd duck, when the one that just doesn't fit in can capture the attention of God. But the second thing that's important in this story is we're reminded that Jesus cares. I wonder how her stories went the rest of her life. My guess is the stories for the rest of her life kind of go something like this. "I remember that day when Jesus was on his way to the synagogue leader's house, and for some reason I was emboldened to leave my house and go find Jesus, and I didn't want to talk to him because the people might have shunned me, and so I reached out and caught the edge of his garment, and bang!" See, the rest of her life would have been dominated by what Jesus had done, because she may not have mattered to anybody else, but she mattered to Jesus. Let me take a moment and talk to you. You may feel like you matter to nobody else, but you matter to Jesus. You may feel like you're on an island by yourself. You may feel like your family is turned against you. You may feel alone and sometimes desperate living in a house that's been quarantined. But I want to tell you, more than anything else, you still matter to Jesus. And if you still matter to Jesus, then you still matter to the church that belongs to Jesus. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus will run into a little short guy. And I don't say that to be mean. That's what the Bible calls him, a little short guy named Zacchaeus. And in the midst of him running into Zacchaeus, he's going to show that, "Zacchaeus, even though you're a tax collector, you matter to God." whether it's Zacchaeus or whether it's the woman in the midst of the story whose name we have never heard, neither one of them ever felt ordinary again. But then the second, third thing is real faith dares. I've been thinking about what real faith looks like a lot this week. It's pretty easy when we're on a Sunday morning in this room and there are 250, 300 of us gathered in this room for faith to come out of the closet. But yet, what is it like when we're not gathered in this room? Because the truth is we can be in a crowd every Sunday morning and still never get in touch with Jesus. And if there's one thing I want us to feel this morning and see this morning from this woman's story, is that it doesn't matter if you're in a crowd or if you're by yourself, you can get in touch with Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're a family of 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 that are gathered around a computer watching us on Facebook Live or listening to us on the radio, you can get in touch with Jesus. That He is there and He loves all that He has created. I don't know what's going to happen the next few weeks. I don't know if coronavirus is going to explode in Roswell. We're prepared for it the best we can if it does. I don't know what's going to happen in the life of my own family the next few days. And I may never fully understand why God has allowed the world to go through this moment of adversity. But I think I'll understand it one day. Because real faith doesn't always have to understand. You see, her real faith said, I don't know, I can't leave my house, and I don't know what's going to happen if I get there, but at least I'm going to give it a shot and try. See, real faith doesn't always understand, but someday we'll understand it better. We're going to sing a couple more songs this morning together, and I want to thank Michael for putting all of our music together, and thank Karen for all that she has done this morning. But I want to remind us that someday we will understand this all by and by. So let's sing a couple more songs together before we're dismissed this morning.